The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
We're not mental health pros, but we do have some thoughts and feelings about the holiday blues, some of which, we bet, you won't find in a Google search. At least, we haven't seen it. If you want to jump ahead to the main topic, it starts at about 10 minutes in.
Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Make the Yuletide gay. A very lesbian Christmas to you.
Welcome in today. We're talking about when the holidays are not so gay and they're more blue. Holiday blues. That's the topic for this little episode. Hi, Sienna.
I'm just kind of amused with your...
You're waiting for me to
the role that you're on. All right.
It's the coffee.
All right. Mm. Welcome, everyone. We are going to be talking about holiday blues. But before that... I wanted to talk, so today, the day that this episode comes out is a week before Christmas.
Getting ready for the really big show.
Getting ready. And so some of you may not have, maybe you don't feel as prepared. Okay, so just hang in there with me for a moment. I saw on Bethany Frankel, I don't know if any of you know her.
You have to give us a quick backstory of who Bethany Frankel is.
Bethany Frankel is a health foods chef. That's how she was first known to the world via the Real Housewives of New York City.
Okay.
That's how we know Bethany. But she has since become this incredible entrepreneur and she does all kinds of things now. But anyways, I love following her Instagram account because she is so honest with her reviews of products and all different things like that.
Okay.
So recently she did a post on the Dollar Tree. Now, I hope you have a Dollar Tree somewhere in your town. We do. And just as the name implies, everything there is a dollar. I think some things are $1.50, right?
Yeah.
But they'll mark it.
Inflation and all.
So the Dollar Tree is a place that Toast and I have gone to many times, especially in the past when there was an extreme need for it. Like there was no way to really get our needs met without going to the Dollar Tree, or at the time, I think it was the 99 cent store. Mm-hmm. And, but here's the thing. I am always just amazed when I remember, oh, the Dollar Tree, because who doesn't love a bargain? And even though half the things in there, it's like, oh my God, I don't need that. I wouldn't buy it, whatever it might be. Half things there you could use. Mm-hmm. And so Bethany did a post about not stressing out, not feeling like you need to have so much money to put together a thoughtful gift for someone that you want to give a gift to.
Okay.
And all the gifts she created and curated were made up of things at the Dollar Tree. So she basically stands behind creating an experience or a theme for a person. So yes, you are not going to get them
a toilet
plunger. $1, right. Or the $1 lavender bath salts. And that's it. You're okay. Going to create an experience.
Okay.
So you might get a holiday container that could serve like the basket.
Okay.
It's all from the Dollar Tree. Holiday container.
Like a little pail with like snowflakes.
Right. Right.
On the outside as decorations printed
right.
on them.
Then you'll get like some stuffing, you know, like the little crinkle
paper. Like Easter grass type thing.
And then you could add into it the lavender bath salts. Mm-hmm. You might add in a...
bar soaps.
A sponge.
Okay, like a loofah
scrubby
thingy.
Sponge or something. You could do a beautiful lavender bar soap or a lavender like bath. What is that? Like
gel?
Bubble bath. Kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
You could also add in a lotion and maybe a fun holiday candy.
A candy?
Yeah, like a nice
like a
holiday
bar?
Looking candy bar. They also had holiday looking little tins of cookies.
Okay.
So putting all of that in this kind of luxurious kind of basket.
So that's $7.
No, well, you would also get the cellophane to go around the thing.
$8.
And maybe you have ribbon at home. If not, you'd buy ribbon. So that's a $9 basket.
I see.
And if you want to make it an even $10, you could get a really pretty card. And I will say, the Dollar Tree does not disappoint when it comes to cards.
You know, cards are so expensive if you're not at the Dollar Tree.
They're like...
Or if you're not, you know, in the $1
$9.95 section. $9.95
to
$14.95 right? a card. What is going
Ridiculous.
On?
Ridiculous, some cards.
Cards, right. Yeah. And unless you're giving that card to someone who is very sentimental and they'll keep it forever.
Right.
Don't spend that kind of money
it's
on
a
cards.
A lot of money for cards.
It's crazy. I mean, we want to keep the crafty card makers in business. But those cards normally are at the level of... the craft fair that you're going to, where you get to meet the artist. Anyway.
Yeah, that's different than standing in front of like a, you know, every card wrapped in cellophane, papyrus.
So anyways, you know. I wanted to share that with you all because I recently signed up for the Dollar Tree email list. Who knew they had an email list? Because it's just not on my radar. Mm-hmm. We don't pass one on the way home. It's not on my radar. And anytime you can, you know, save some money or really
be economical.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it's you nice. Do that? Like you don't need to buy the cellophane from, I don't know, Michael's.
The cellophane store.
Even though Michael's has good deals.
The
but
world's
you know
best
I mean?
Cellophane specialist.
Yeah, you don't need to buy it from
extra heavy
Cellophane
duty.
Emporium or whatever, yeah. right? You can just buy it from the Dollar Tree.
They have wrapping paper.
They have wrapping paper. They have all kinds of things.
Also very expensive sometimes.
But the reason I got on the email list was really to remind me, we have to stock up on our cards there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's some very timely excitement.
Yes, because you can go to one place, not break the bank, and go and finish your shopping if you're still. You know,
okay, so
needing
go and
some gift.
So go and do that if you need to do that. And
they also have like glassware.
Oh, okay.
You know, so you could do. So we talked about like a little self care kind of basket, right? With bath things in there.
Nice bath.
You could do like two glasses and maybe some apple. What is that? Apple juice, sparkling apple juice in there, or like a bottle of wine. You
they
could
have
do,
wine at the Dollar Tree?
No, they don't. Okay. They don't have wine at the Dollar Tree. But
you have
to go
to Trader Joe's
Trader
for that.
Joe's, yes. You could put wine, and then you can use Dollar Tree boxes of chocolates or cookies. And that's like wine, glasses.
Jeez.
You know what I mean? So you could do that kind of a basket.
Jeez.
You could do
okay.
a fun kids basket. They have tons of like coloring books, pens, stickers.
Adults would like that too. You know, you could use a good coloring book to just...
calm down.
Get away from the light pumping screens blasting into your eyes and just
you could
do
two
coloring book.
You could do two holiday mugs or four if it's like you're giving it to a family. And you can put in holiday hot chocolate in there, put in some marshmallows and some peppermint candy canes. Mm. That is a beautiful basket.
That's cute.
Isn't that cute?
That's
because
cute.
Anytime we receive something that looks festive and fun like that, don't we all get excited? I
a
get
little
excited.
Bit.
A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
I get excited because I'm not going to buy the Santa mug. I'm not going to buy it.
And that is
but
a nice
someone
gift,
someone gives
right?
it to us.
Right, exactly.
I'm like, oh my God, this is so nice. It's holiday vibes. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it, we can use it, and let's put it in the cupboard. And then you bring them out every holiday.
Yeah, that's definitely...
But I'm not going to buy them.
Right. That's definitely one category of the perfect gift, mm-hmm. is the type of stuff that you wouldn't get for yourself.
Yeah.
Right? But that... It brings a little kind
brings
of
so
spark
much
of
joy,
spark
right.
of delight there.
And yeah. they also have beautiful holiday plates and platters, like china, not like, I mean, they do have plastic ones too, but actually I would like to get some of those.
Okay. All right. We'll put it into our calendar. Errands to the Dollar Tree. Okay. So
they
up next,
ribbon.
We'll
I
spend the second half, of this episode
but
talking
about,
nope,
there's more.
Not quite yet.
Okay, so with the Dollar Tree, just something everyone should know.
We're going to have to retitle this episode.
No, wait. With the Dollar Tree, what's important to know is that you're not just being like a cheap person. Like, don't fall into that. Like, oh, I'm just this cheap person. Don't fall into that, because all of this stuff that gets bought by the Dollar Tree is overstock from other bigger businesses. Mm. So we're actually helping to just move these products through, and not just having brand new products thrown in some landfill or just wasted.
Mm.
So it's helpful to shop at the Dollar Tree.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
And next, we're going to talk about the holiday blues.
You can also get chili mango.
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That last time we went, they didn't have it.
Okay, so this episode, we're talking about the holiday blues. Before we get into it, though, just a quick standard kind of disclaimer. Obviously, we are not doctors. We're not psychologists or psychiatrists, or we're not even therapists or counselors, okay? But we did want to discuss the holiday blues. And of course, this is purely from a personal standpoint. This is not a substitute for professional mental health advice or diagnosis or treatments. And if you do find yourself struggling and suspecting that you might want to avail yourself of professional help, please know about 988. That's a number you can call, 988. You can also go to 988lifeline.org. And it's pretty cool because it's free, it's confidential, and basically it hooks you up with a network nationwide in the United States of local crisis centers that are especially for people in emotional or mental crisis. So know about that.
Great.
Okay. So holiday blues. Last time we talked about anxiety, and as we were preparing for that episode, we realized, you know, holiday blues is a thing too. Not just during the holidays, like pre or coincidental with the holidays, but even after the holidays is a phenomenon too, blues. So we wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, and also too, and I think you're going to cover a little bit about this, but it is natural.
To have the blues?
It's natural to have the blues, but especially in the winter, just from the light, less light.
Right. It's not a sunshiny time.
It's not.
Literally.
It's not. So that impacts how we feel. Mm-hmm. And
there's a crow that's calling outside that you might hear. We just wanted to acknowledge that.
But also, too, the you know, really maybe allowing oneself to give in to go with the emotions that come during this time, mm-hmm. might be pretty therapeutic.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of times I know, well, for myself, if I'm feeling something I don't want to feel, or if it's like, okay, how do I get out of this? How do I not feel what I'm feeling?
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. let me not feel what I'm feeling and let's just go watch The Real Housewives.
And Bethany Frankel.
She's not on it anymore. Yeah. But anyways, you know, it's like all the different things we do to not feel. And I think when it comes to depression, it's a little more difficult.
Okay.
To mask that feeling or to not feel that feeling. Because sometimes depression doesn't look like how we tend to think it looks.
Ooh, say more about that.
You know, what do you, I mean, because yeah. I think when you hear, oh, if you hear that someone is depressed.
Okay, yeah.
I know I think of, oh, they're probably not sleeping or they're sleeping too much.
All day.
Or they can't get out of bed or, you know.
Their shoulders are drooped and their
posture.
Their eyes are downcast and.
They're just not engaging much. They're, you know, there's okay. just a certain type of depressed person.
Okay.
That I think of when I hear, oh, someone's depressed.
Like
or when I hear of depression.
Yeah.
Okay. But depression can also look like a high-functioning person and totally energized and doing all the things, and you would never know it. Mm. And that's why they say, you know, I mean, there have been too many suicides of these types of people suffering from depression, and no one knew. And people, their closest family and friends will say, I didn't know. And so that's where that phrase came from of check on your strong friends because you wouldn't necessarily know someone is depressed. Mm. So I think oftentimes even for these people who are high functioning and the day is really full and they're seeing people and they seem engaged and all these things, it's more difficult to kind of numb the feeling. You know what I mean? If the doing is your norm.
If one is experiencing a sense of depression and hopelessness and experiencing those sensations and feelings and emotions and energy, while simultaneously able to act out a completely fine kind of I'm happy demeanor on the outside and perform all of their tasks and come through with their responsibilities. So what about that person?
Sometimes it's because, so their depression doesn't look like what we're saying the depressed person looks like, right?
Right.
So I think for those types of situations, it's harder to acknowledge and give in to what the depression is and to be depressed or to even decide, oh, I'm going to numb that depression. You know what I mean?
Are you now, just now, did you just give voice to that person's thoughts? Like, oh, it's too hard to give in to the depressed feeling?
Yes.
I'm not following.
Oh. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Because if you're high functioning and you're doing all the things,
yes.
Sometimes that high functioning could be the numbing.
Yes.
But if that's your normal cadence, like if you are normally known to be this high functioning person, whether you're genuinely happy or not,
yes.
You know, that's just your day to day. But beneath it could be some real depression.
Yes.
That is hard to acknowledge, especially because I think, too, some people, like in that situation I just said, it's hard to allow yourself to be depressed when you have those moments of like, I think I'm depressed. I think I'm depressed.
Okay.
Because you feel like you shouldn't be depressed. Like, I have no reason to be depressed. I have a job. And then if you're high functioning and everything looks good on the outside, you're like, I have no reason to be depressed.
That's not me.
You know, so it's hard to give in to the feeling and the season and the darkness. Okay. And, you know, it's because the way it is, we're all so pressured to perform.
Yes. And if you have come to a point in your life where your role and your function in your social network is to be that person who is high functioning and responsible and comes through and is a rock for everybody else. Like that's become your role, and you maybe the inertia of your life and choices have their own power, right?
Yeah.
And they just keep you in that. Then, I guess I can see how I mean, I guess all of us, probably all of us to a certain degree, feel some at least a little sliver of that because, you know, in its most tame form, that's what being civil is.
Yeah.
Right? You're not an a-hole and you don't, you know, you try to contribute in a positive way to social interactions, regardless of how you feel your day is going or how you feel, you know, but so much of the, I guess so much of the difficulty, complexity, and interestingness of life is how do we navigate, right? How do we engage with that large, very large gray area of being genuine?
Yeah, and I think...
But not being unhealthy to the point of being unhealthy.
But all that to say, like, that just depression isn't always obvious, you know? And so the best we can really do is, yes, check on your strong friends, but also, especially during this time, this darker time, to know where you're at, because that's the guaranteed thing, right?
You, like, you don't know how somebody else's interior life is from the outside.
But to really allow yourself to have those stretches of time to sit with yourself. Because, I mean, how many of us sit with ourselves? Like, really sit with ourselves? You do, because I see you do it every morning. I
just
do, and then
there.
I do, but a lot of times I'll start thinking of my to-do list and then that pulls me. I allow it to pull me in that direction, then I'm doing something.
Sure.
But
I also do.
I think scheduling time, you know, and to take advantage of this just this dark, you know, like this, because it's magical too.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
So
I don't know. That was kind of all over
the place. We are all over the place, so, but that's how we are sometimes.
I don't know. Is that, should we leave that? Should we take it out?
Just leave it.
I think people were following
that.
We're
just two non-professional mental health people talking about it.
People like me who are external processors will follow and track every single thing I said, I bet. And those who are better communicators and who really think before they speak, like you.
I don't know if that's...
They will follow you and then, you know, let's see.
Well, I don't know All right, about being let's better move communicators. On. But okay. So this is going to be the test. I'm going to try and see if I can articulate and be a good communicator.
Okay.
About what gets my goat. My goat has been gotten and my hackles are up when the topic of the holiday blues or just blues, you know, feeling less than like a eager beaver, chipper, up and at 'em kind of person. And it has to do with, as Sienna, you will know, my natural inclination is to turn towards the systems that we find ourselves in, you know, socially and the historical fact of where we are and the culture that we have inherited. And just, it's become so much more and more in my face and in my awareness of how our culture, for all of its aspirations, which I applaud, and yes, it is inspiring, the idea of breaking past boundaries and going past your limits and improving and becoming more and all of that, there's definitely a place for that, and it's admirable. But what's just as valid and I think just as holy and sacred and to be revered and respected is the idea of limits and allowing and respecting constraints. There's a kind of humility that is so beautiful associated with that type of posture towards life and engaging with each other, engaging with the natural world, that that if we had more of that kind of respect and a place for that, then I think the feelings of feeling down a little, maybe feeling a little blue, you know, those feelings would not be pathologized or suspect. There wouldn't be anything that our culture automatically sees as wrong for going through those emotions and having those types of feelings of, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not feeling in this kind of go get them, I'm going to overcome kind of mood. Mm-hmm. You're not always in that, you know.
And, I think we're definitely moving towards that.
I think so,
and I
too.
Think some spaces are immersed in that, you know.
Ooh, immersed in that.
Like that they believe it wholeheartedly. Like they're trying to make changes. Through.
Like they're making like room for that in a really respectful way.
Yes.
That's one of the things that excites me about this move in our culture, in our mm-hmm. society. I feel like, yeah, things have come to a head where more of us have that perspective due to what's happening with the climate, due to what's happening with the distribution of wealth or what our culture calls resources. Hopefully that makes sense to some people. And
it made complete sense.
Okay, great, great.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. So I think, you know, I mean, we kind of just allowed ourselves to go and do like a free flow mm-hmm. type of podcast here. Mm-hmm. But let's think of some things about this time where you could be feeling depressed, mm-hmm. things that might be helpful.
Okay.
Just little tips.
So mine is to put on some holiday music. That's in the minor keys, that uses minor chords.
Okay.
You know, like,
and that's not one you're going to find on a Google list.
Like I've recently came across some renditions of songs like We Three Kings of Orient Are. You know, it's very morose kind of feeling, or O Come, O Come, Emmanuel is another one. I think even What Child Is This? Mm-hmm. What child is this? And it kind of created a sense of, very much dark introspection.
So it's like the gateway to just be in it,
Yeah.
Versus changing and whatever is happening for you.
Right. Instead of trying to make it the feeling like the most wonderful time of the year mm-hmm. in that bright, mm-hmm. sparkly way, I can definitely get a sense of satisfaction out of the atmosphere of sadness. Right? And dissatisfaction.
Yeah. And I think are on opposite ends of this.
You're like, I want the spectrum.
Yeah.
So that, like okay. just having having it be like a celebration, mm-hmm. right? Like this kind of reverence and a respect and an honoring of the darkness.
Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of what the lead up to winter solstice is, mm-hmm. in a way.
Yeah. I think for me, because I've had very happy holidays mm-hmm. as a kid growing mm-hmm. up, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. it does tend to be a time that is primed to be happy. But the part where the depression comes in is sort of that week leading up to Christmas, because I know it's going to be over soon.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid, just in the dysfunctional household, Christmas was the time that was celebratory, but it's also the time I felt normal, quote unquote normal, right?
Okay.
And then the end of Christmas signified the end of mm-hmm. the joy, the normalcy, the all of that stuff. It was like, oh God, now it's back to, you know. So for me, I think I'm pretty good. Like the depression part, there's room for it towards the end of Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's when I feel like I battle it the most. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But
have you tried not battling it?
Yes. Yes. And I think more and more I'm doing that. I think the hard part for me is that in my day job, I need to function. And so sometimes I need to actually time when I'm giving into it.
Yes.
Because I can't otherwise, I'm not going to bring home a paycheck. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I have to time it because I need the space and room to really process and go wherever I want to go.
Yes.
Which might mean sleeping for a day. Which might mean, okay, I'm doing nothing today.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that if you have four Zooms lined up.
Nothing.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so that. So I think like some things that have helped me is, first of all, I always take vacation during the holidays. And that's helpful for me. But here's a tip for people who tend to like take vacation during the holidays is to consider taking your vacation in December a little later than you normally would so that you have enough vacation to take that first week of January off. I find that to be incredibly helpful because it's way less, it allows you to just really recalibrate while everyone else is kind of going back to work. Mm-hmm. And there's that, you know, whole energy of like, everyone's going back to work. You get to recalibrate and then, and really have some quiet. Mm. That's, I love that. So that's what I'm doing this year.
Okay.
But you can also get some of those lights for seasonal affective disorder.
Yes.
You know, they're really supposed to be very healthy for you. Mm-hmm. You could get one for your desk. You could, wherever you sit most often. You can also do like infrared red light therapy. Like, so whether it's a sauna blanket or, you know, something like that, that also helps to move the energy and to also help your immune system too. So that's a great all around thing.
When you say move the energy, like circulation and the
circulation
lymph,
and
lymphatic system
energy.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
Not just the,
not just your actual blood, but the energy, like meridians,
kind
of stuff.
Because when you're moving all those things inside, you are moving the other end.
Yes.
Energy.
The chi, the key.
Yeah. Another thing could be also to focus on things outside of yourself.
Yeah.
So even though it's saying, you know, even though we're kind of saying, take advantage of the time to go inward, but I think it's also helpful to do something for somebody else, to stretch outward. And if it's strangers, sometimes I think it's better because they don't have you in a box of, they know who you are. And then you have to show up and be a certain way. It's like, it's brand new.
Yeah.
And there's something really beautiful about that. Another tip is don't isolate yourself, but make sure you do have ample alone time. But don't isolate, you know?
Right.
And then nature, nature, spending time in nature.
Huge. Yeah, there's always opportunities if time and you know, resources allow to go and volunteer and be a part of a larger group that's doing community service and that kind of thing. And I think, yeah, like you said, for people who don't have you in a box, that's liberating, you know, just
to
show up
so.
And pitch
show
in.
Up.
And, yeah.
And if you normally are the person that talks a lot and keeps the group together, you don't have to be that here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can just go
right.
and be quiet and just absorb and give. And I think there's something very freeing about that.
That's refreshing.
Yeah.
Yes. So the ebbs and the flows, the peaks in emotion.
And the lows.
And the troughs of emotion. And that's how life goes. That's how the seasons go. Winter time is the dormant time and summer is the opposite. And that's how our emotions go. And if we can have that kind of flexibility and all of the things, fantastic. All right. Thanks for hanging with us. And we hope this was helpful to somebody out there.
Oh, and the next time we're here is Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Next episode will be
the Christmas episode.
The day after Christmas. Talk then. And until then, live your love story.
Do you ever feel that calling that you should be doing more with your life? If you're unhappy with the status quo, I can help. My name is Elias Patras, and I'm an intuitive motivator, psychic medium, and motivational speaker. I know that feeling, and on my podcast, Your Inner Voice, I can help you answer that call to step into your life's purpose. I will show you how to recognize and listen to the signs and signals that are all around us and help you tap into your intuition. Join me for the show here on the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network and wherever you get your podcasts. Let's connect, educate, and grow on this journey together.